Okay, here we go. John's Gospel, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. I leaned over to Todd just before I was introduced, and I said, I'm going through a bit of an unpleasant situation right now. He goes, what is it? And I said, well, I think the Lord is downloading me to preach something that I've never preached. And he went, oh, that's cool. And I said, no, it isn't. And so then I said, not only have I never preached this, I have never thought of this. Someone say, help him, Jesus. John chapter 6. I want to say something. Jesus is here. Hey, I want to say something to you. Listen, you got to get this. The bread of life is here. Oh, that's the word of the Lord for some of you. The bread of life is here. He's here. You've come hungry. I am not the bread of life. But the bread of life is here. This is exciting. You'll have to excuse me. He's here. When the Muslims gather, Allah does not make a personal appearance. When the Buddhists gather, Buddha does not make a personal appearance. When the devotees of Krishna gather, Krishna does not make a personal, I'm talking a personal appearance. Come on. When the Jehovah's Witnesses gather, when the Mormons gather, come on. When the Christian Scientists gather, come on. We're not waiting for Mary Baker Eddy to show up this morning. I'm not going to conjure up Joseph Smith. I'm telling you that my Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, is here. Oh! He's here. Not because I feel like it. Not because my books showed up or didn't. Not because Aaron looks better than me this morning. See, Aaron broke a rule. Never look better than the speaker. Come on. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is here. The Lord of glory is among us. Isn't that awesome? So I want everybody to get on the same page with me. I don't know what else God's going to do, but He is going to do something. He never stands still. He never moves laterally. Oh, we got churches full of believers that are moving laterally. All kinds of religious activity. All kinds of stuff. But God is only ever moving forward. So my prayer is that this conference, New England Aflame 2004, would move you where? Forward. If you don't get moved forward in this meeting, you've wasted your time. Come on. So how many are ready to move forward? Good. Hallelujah. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Let's start with verse 30. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then? You got to get this. The people of Jesus' day, the unbelievers, the religious crowd, listen very carefully, wanted him to perform. Listen, Jesus ain't a performer. Right? He's not a sideshow. Come on. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord of glory. Amen? And He doesn't have to perform for you now because He sure didn't have to perform for them then. So first of all, Jesus doesn't have to prove anything to you. Isn't that awesome? Now, He loves you, and He's going to nail and bless and cream and zap some of you today, and you will leave changed. But He is not a performer. Come on. And neither should you be. You should be a producer, but not a performer. And my job is to train, to equip, and to get you from being a prophetic consumer or a spiritual consumer and turn you around into a spiritual producer. Amen?
Amen?
That's the purpose of this conference. I don't know how to tell you this, but you're going to take New England. No one else is.
There
you go. You're going to take it.
Amen.
So you got to get with it,
preach it,
says the Lord.
Come on.
So they wanted Jesus to perform, verse 30. What sign will you perform? Jesus wasn't going to perform. They said that we might see it and believe you. Jesus saw through this. They weren't going to believe him no matter what he did. Because belief isn't external. Signs and wonders, healings and miracles don't get people to believe. It captures their attention. It provides an opportunity. But they need to consciously and willingly make a heart decision from within. Because there's a lot of time to live in between miracles. Come on. I believe in revival. I'm believing God for one for New England. But in the meantime, I'm going to live for God. In the meantime, I'm going to live for God. I don't need a sign or a wonder. I don't need a healing or a miracle to believe. I'm not a Thomas, and neither should you be. Jesus said, you've believed because you've seen. More blessed are they who believe and haven't seen. Come on. What work will you do? They were always pressing Jesus to perform. He was not a prostitute. How many know the church is full of prostitutes? Come on, spiritual prostitutes. They'll do anything for a buck. Come on. It's getting quiet in here. Remember, if you don't like what I'm preaching, I don't blame you. I've never preached this myself. I'm not even sure I like it, but it's what God's given me. Verse 31. Here we go. Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. And as it is written, he gave them what? Bread from heaven to eat. But Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say this to you. Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. Ooh. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Their perspective was wrong. They were getting off on the manna. They were getting off on it. Man, they'd get up every morning, there was manna all over. They were just gathering that manna and eating that manna. But I want you to see a parallel this morning that the manna from heaven, the true manna, the true bread, is here this morning. This meeting is about the true bread. This meeting is about the real manna. Come on. Verse 33, for the bread of God, are you hungry this morning?
Yes.
The bread of God. You see, I'm seeing your bellies. I'm seeing your bellies. And you need to fill your belly up. How many know how you feel when you're full? Isn't that a good feeling? Man, this coming Thanksgiving, we're going to be just sitting around. And what are you going to be feeling? You're going to be feeling what? Full! Well, the Lord would say, Thanksgiving's come early to New England. Amen. The Lord wants to fill your belly with what? Him! Your hunger is not for me. Your hunger is not for the prophetic. Your hunger is not for a church. Your hunger is not for a denomination. Your hunger is not for a particular ministry. Your hunger is not for a gift. Your hunger is for Jesus. And here's the good news. Not only did he give you that hunger for him, but he's the satisfaction of that hunger for him. So he gives you the hunger and he satisfies that hunger. Isn't that awesome? So, verse 33, for the bread of God is he. Oh, notice, the bread of God is a he. You got to get this. The bread of God isn't a prophecy. The bread of God isn't speaking in tongues. The bread of God is a he. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. We haven't even got to the good verse yet. Verse 34. Then they said to him, okay, Lord, give us this bread. At least they've got their mind off of earthly things. Come on.
At least they said, okay, you don't want us to be in the natural manna. You know, that was cool. Our fathers ate of it, you know. And they knew the scriptures. All right, you want us to get off natural manna. Okay, we're off natural manna. So you've got manna from heaven. Okay. All right. So you can kind of see them going like this. You know, what were they looking for? Another variety of what? Manna from heaven. Their paradigm was wrong. They were thinking in the natural. Come on. They were checking around on the ground. Where's this manna from heaven? How many know that a lot of Christians are that way?
Yeah.
A lot of Christians, right? And I want to say this lovingly and reverently, but, you know, you might not need another prophecy this morning.
That's right.
You might need to fill your belly with the bread from God. You know, you may have got full during the worship. You see, we don't need to fill this. We need to fill this. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You don't need 1,321 prophecies to be full of Jesus. You just need to get full of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? You know who I like prophesying over? The best people whose bellies are full. How many know what I mean? Because when they're full, I'm just giving them something to overflow with onto others. You see, maybe this prophecy this day isn't supposed to be for you or about you. Maybe you need to get full of Jesus. Maybe you need to get some of the bread of heaven on the inside of you so that my prophecy to you can be about the people you're going to impact. Maybe it ain't supposed to take 40 years for you to get whole so you can minister to somebody else. Maybe this isn't about your prosperity. Maybe you should have been listening to God 20 years ago about your finances so Jesus doesn't have to fix them today. Maybe you should have had a bank account which was overflowing so you can give and not receive. I'm preaching real good this morning. But you know what I'm doing? I'm prophesying. I'm looking at some folks that got to get their belly full with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? So maybe this day, this service, this morning, ain't about you. So while I'm preaching, I want you to get your bellies full. I want you to look to the God of heaven who has sent us manna. Come on, the bread of life is here. I want to see your bellies full. You need manna. Manna from the Father. His name is Jesus. He ain't Allah. He ain't Buddha. Come on. He's the living God. And He's here this morning to fill you. It's about relationship. It's about intimacy. It's about knowing Him. It's not about living from prophecy to prophecy. It's about having the prophetic word in you, His testimony, living inside, guiding you, comforting you, directing you. Come on. Again, verse 34. Then they said to Him, okay, Lord, give us this bread. And they wanted it always. How many know that Jesus was a great salesman? He got them so excited in about 35 words or less that they said, okay, this is all we ever want. This is all we ever want. Give us this bread forever. And that's a good thing. You need to say, you know what? I don't want anything else but Jesus. Oh, that's so simplistic. Yeah, but it's true. What you need is your belly full of the manna from heaven. Then maybe the prophecy that you might get this morning will be able to serve God's true purpose in your life. Come on. People that got so many needs, they can't conceive of God giving them a prophecy that might affect somebody else. How long is it going to take the church to get whole? How long is it going to take us to have an overflow of the Holy Spirit where we can give out of that overflow? Why does every meeting have to be about us and our problems and our sicknesses and our... What's wrong? Our bellies aren't full. We're undernourished. But there's manna this morning. Man, are we going to gain weight today? Man, we're all going to walk out of here with these big... Come on. Man, what happened in that meeting? I'm telling you, I'm seeing this. I want you to have your bellies full of the bread of life. Jesus, He was right. I don't need a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. I need You. Fill in my belly. You're the bread of life. I haven't got to that verse yet. Here we go. Sorry. Verse 34. Lord, give us this bread always. Here it is. Verse 35. This blew their minds. He had set them up. They were looking for manna. Okay. We're into the manna thing. Make it happen. Here. Watch. Watch. Look up here. They were doing this. No. How many know they were? They were. Jesus needed to get them to look inside. Christianity is inside. It's internal. The kingdom of God is where? Within. It's the Christian that internalizes the will of God that succeeds in the kingdom. I've got people that think prophets are magicians with magic wands. Bring a prophet in. He'll wave his magic wand over the church. Everything will go away that's bad. Everything that comes in will be good. Just abracadabra in Jesus' name. But it's those Christians that have internalized their beliefs and made them convictions that succeed in the kingdom of God. It's not filling this with knowledge. It's filling this with Jesus. Come on. The bread of life. The bread of life. Notice verse 35. He blew their minds. Then Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoa. Listen, manna came fresh every morning, and I maintain that Jesus comes fresh every morning to every hungry and thirsty believer. You could not gather manna and eat it the next day, it would spoil rotten. How many know that when the manna came down, they gathered it every morning and ate it? Those that tried to gather it and keep it, it spoiled. I'm here to tell you. Oh man, turn to Hebrews. This is good. I'm here to tell you that you need to hear from God today. You need a fresh word from Him today. You need your bellies full of the bread of life today. And it might not come through a prophecy. You might get it driving home. When Jesus, you know, the bread of life, speaks to you a personal word and fills your belly. Amen. I got to tell you, the manna from heaven that the Father has is coming down upon us in this meeting. The bread of life is on us. He's on us. He's in us. It's about Him. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Wow. I want you to see your bellies. I want you to see Jesus filling your bellies this morning. He's the bread of life. You know that feeling. You're going to sit back on Thanksgiving and turn on that football game. And man, your belly's going to be what? Full. Well, I believe Jesus wants to fill your belly this morning with Himself. Hebrews 3. And I'm almost done. Hebrews 3. Here's what I want to tag on now. Yes, you're going to hear from God. But it has to be a daily thing. Manna was a daily thing. The bread of life, I believe, Jesus is a daily thing. You need to receive from Him daily. Some of you received from Him and of Him during the worship. Hopefully, some of you receive of Him and from Him during this time of preaching. And hopefully, some of you will receive of Him and from Him during the times of personal prophetic ministry. But it's all about Jesus. And you need to hear from God today. Yesterday is yesterday. Tomorrow's tomorrow. But today is today. Look at Hebrews 3 and verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, three things I want to say about hearing from God. Number one, it's a daily discipline. Today, if you will hear His voice, underline that. Look at verse 15. Today, if you will hear His voice. Turn over, chapter 4, and verse 7. Today, if you will hear his voice. Listen to me. Being a believer means hearing from God when? Today.
Come on.
I didn't tell you how you're going to hear from God. You may hear from God on your way out. You may hear from God when you go to bed and have a dream. I don't know how God's going to do it. It's not going to be only through the prophetic. My point is that hearing from God is a daily discipline. I hear the Lord saying, today, if you will hear His voice. Some of you need to hear from God today. It's critical. I can't live off yesterday's manna.
Amen.
I can't live off the promise of manna tomorrow. Will it be there? Of course. But it won't do me any good today. So some of you need to hear from God today. Some of you need to hear from God today and you don't know it. You need the bread of life to fill your belly. You need some manna. You need something fresh from God. And it's available. Blessed, he said. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst. But Denny, I'm desperate. Blessed are you who are so desperate that you will hunger and thirst after him. God has got some of you in a corner. You think it's the devil. I think it's God.
Amen.
Some of you have nowhere to turn to and no one to turn to. Rejoice. Jesus puts you in that corner. He wants your belly full of him and only him. He wants you on a restricted diet. Low carb, low sugar, high protein. Amen.
Amen.
So today you need to hear his voice. So the first thing is hearing from God is a daily discipline. Number two, look at Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2. Chapter 4 verse 2. Number two, hearing from God requires faith. Yeah, we hear the word faith a lot, don't we? But you got to get this. I've laid hands on thousands of people and hundreds of them will never see their prophecies fulfilled because they've not had any faith. It doesn't matter whether I've got faith for your word. It matters whether you've got faith for your word. I've got faith to deliver it. That won't do you any good unless you have faith to receive it. I'm giving it in faith. You need to receive it in faith. If you don't, cheer up. It won't come to pass. Look at verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Notice it was the same gospel preached to two different audiences. But the word, that is the message, the information conveyed, which they heard. Notice they both heard it. Same message. They both heard it in some way, but notice one group did not profit from what was said because there was a difference. Same message, same two kinds of groups of people, but something happened in one group. They profited from what was spoken. The other group did not profit from what was spoken. What was the difference? Because they heard it, but it did not profit them, not being mixed. Ah, not being mixed. Ah, not being mixed. Aaron Evans can prophesy over you. Denny Kramer can John Paul Jackson. I don't care who it is. We can prophesy over you all day long. But if you do not mix the word that you receive in you with faith, it will not profit you. Remember, the mixing goes on in you. I can have great faith to deliver it, and you'll walk out that door and it'll never happen. Why? You have got to mix the receiving of it with faith. Where does the mixing take place? Well, I've got to go to my pastor so he can mix it with faith. It's not your pastor's job to mix your word with faith. The word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them. You have the responsibility to mix your prophetic word with faith. You have that responsibility. If you haven't mixed it with faith, don't blame me when it doesn't come to pass. So number one, hearing from God is a daily discipline. We're going to hear from God this morning. In fact, I hope you are already. Yeah. Number two, hearing from God requires faith. In other words, you must own, you must internalize the word of the Lord. It's got to become part of you. You've got to get pregnant with it. It's a highly personal thing to hear from God. Once you mix it with faith, you've owned it. You've internalized it. It becomes part of you. That's the purpose of prophecy. It's not supposed to hang on you somewhere on the outside. It's supposed to go on the inside and attach itself to your heart. You've got to own it. You've got to internalize it. How? By faith. I'm here to tell you, a bunch of you have heard from God, and you're scratching your sanctified charismatic heads wondering, how come it hasn't come to pass? Maybe it's because you haven't mixed it with faith. Number one, hearing from God is a daily discipline. Number two, hearing from God requires faith. Number three, and I'm done. Hearing from God, that is, the ability to internalize this word from the Lord, is not an automatic thing. Jesus said, if you have ears, then hear. You know what Jesus knew? He knew everyone that he spoke to didn't have ears. Yeah. He knew there was two kinds of believers, and there still are. Them that's got ears, and them's that don't. It's the truth. What am I saying? This is my last point and my most important point. Listen very carefully. I'm going to sit down for effect. Ooh. Hearing from God is volitional. Volitional. Anything that's volitional requires a yielding of the will. Hearing from God is not automatic. Well, he got a word from God, he heard it. Don't I wish that were true? But Jesus knew something about hearing from God. He said, he that volitionally has ears to hear, let them hear. Those that will willingly hear, let them hear. And there's those same two kinds of believers this morning with us here. Hearing from God is volitional. It's an act of your will. I've had people prove this to me. I've had people say to me, oh, that was a nice word, but we don't want to do that. I beg your pardon? We heard the word, but it sounded difficult. Yeah? Hearing from God is a daily discipline. Do you have ears to hear? It needs to be volitional. You need to say, I am willing to hear. I had a prophetic dream a couple years ago. In fact, it got some attention on the web. Elijah List picked it up and it got some attention. And in the dream, it was about me. And I walked up to a table, and I don't know who it was, if it was Jesus or who it was, but someone reached up to my ear and pulled out my entire physical hearing apparatus. The outer ear, all the canal, all the inner ear, the bones, the whole hearing apparatus. Get what I'm saying? So in the dream, I'm standing there, and this person just goes like this, and takes it and sets it on a table in front of me. That'll get your attention. And it was right in front of me. And this is awesome. And I saw my whole inner ear hearing system laid out in front of me. And when it got to the table, it got really, really long. And then I was able, almost like I was doing a, what do they call it when they dissect? Yeah, almost like it was dissected in front of me. I opened it up and I saw the whole hearing apparatus. And I saw in it all kinds of blockages. It was full of wax. It was full of all kinds of debris, very specific things that I saw, a little graphic in nature, so I'll skip over it, but it was plugged up. And so I began to remove all this debris, all this blockage, wax, big chunks of hardened wax were in there, and I'm pulling this stuff all out, and I opened up my ears, my hearing apparatus. And I woke up and the Lord said, that dream's about you, son. He said, It's a miracle you've heard from me at all. Because of all the stuff that's in your ear. Come on. So I had to choose to hear. I had to be willing. I had to be volitionally cooperative with the one that speaks from heaven to hear, to internalize, and to act on what God said. Can I tell you the litmus test of when you have heard from God? How many want to know the litmus test?
Yeah.
That when you can know that you've owned it, when you can know that you've internalized it, it's real simple. When you act on it. If you ain't acting on it, you ain't owned it. If you haven't acted on it, you ain't internalized it. Come on. Well, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Well, God told me to write books. So see if you can follow me. Here's what I did. I wrote books. God didn't write them. I wrote them. Why? He told me to. I'm on the road a couple hundred days a year. I hardly ever get the time off that you get off. I'm always on the road. Very difficult lifestyle. Very stressful. Very difficult. But you know why I do it? Because God told me to. You see, I owned it. I internalized it. I acted on it. I do schools of prophecy. Why? God told me to. God didn't develop that curriculum. I did. He didn't write the books. I did. He doesn't travel, if you know what I mean. I do. I've acted on prophetic words in my life. That's the litmus test. That means I've owned it. So my question to each of you, beloved, is how many prophecies have you owned? How many prophecies have you internalized? I can tell you, it's the ones you've acted on. Now, it's true, some you can't do much about. I understand that category. I'm not asking you to leave this place and to self-fulfill words that God's not asking you to act on. But you can still internalize them. You can still own them until their appointed time and season. But I know what I know. There's a whole bunch of you here that have got all these powerful prophecies in your life that you should be acting on and you're not because you don't understand faith. Faith is a risk. You may fail. And you will look stupid in the process of obeying God's will for your life. When I obey God, I have the appearance of being stupid. When I move in my gifting, I have the appearance of being stupid. I just came from Canada where I said, I have a word of knowledge. There's someone here with cancer. You've been diagnosed. There's a diagnosed, it was like, let's say 80 people. You've been diagnosed with cancer. Someone here, about 80 people, you've been diagnosed as currently having cancer. Who is that? Nobody responded. And I was prepared for that. Because when you obey God, you may look stupid. When you're moving in your gifting, you may look stupid. So then I said, all right, there's another person. You have severe pain in your right rib cage area. Who is that? No one responded. I'm 0 for 2. 4 months later, I get an email. There was a woman and a man in that meeting. The woman was told that you got to go to this meeting because you're not going to believe what you're going to see. So she came in fear and trembling and sat there. And it was this woman who had just been diagnosed as having cancer but was afraid to respond publicly. The same woman had cancer in her right rib cage. I mean, Jesus nailed her. Couldn't have been more accurate. Diagnosed with cancer in the right rib cage. It was the same woman. She did not respond to either word of knowledge, but something really cool happened. Seated next to her was a man who came to check me out because he was told prophets are not for today. So the one woman came, never been in a meeting like that, scared to death to respond to my words of knowledge. The guy next to her taught against prophets and just came to find out what in the world I thought I was doing. So of all the people in that church, God didn't speak to the charismatic, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesying, speaking in tongues, familiar with the move of God believer. God gave two words of knowledge to a freaked out woman and a freaked out man who didn't know why they were sitting there. And his testimony was that after I gave these two words of knowledge, he said a heat started coming over him. The guy started getting hot. And then he said, my right arm began to vibrate. And God said to him, lay your right hand on the woman next to you. He didn't know. You got to get this. He didn't know that the woman was the one who had the diagnosed cancer in the right rib cage. No one knew this was going on. I especially didn't know this was going on because I'm up there dying. Listen, this is not about us looking good. Huh? This is not about us getting the glory. Trust me, God will find a way where there is no way that you will not get the glory. Amen. So I'm up there dying, and Jesus is just getting all this glory. And this man doesn't know what to make of it. So he doesn't know this woman has the diagnosed cancer. He doesn't know this woman's got it in her right rib cage. He only knows he got real, real hot and his whole right arm is vibrating. And a little voice says, lay your heated and vibrating hand on that lady next to you. She went back to the hospital and had a body scan. And they found no cancer. They did a scan. They found no cancer. You got to get this. You got to get this. This is awesome. So this morning, the Lord is going to confirm His word with some more signs and wonders following. He does not confirm the phone book. He does not confirm Reader's Digest. He doesn't even confirm Christianity Today or, imagine this, Charisma Magazine. You know what He confirms? His Word! Come on! He doesn't confirm your beliefs or your doctrines or your dogma. He confirms His Word. And His Word tells us that the bread of life, the bread of life is here. So I want you to fill your bodies. Right now, close your eyes, lift your hands, would you? And I want you to fill your belly right now. Fill it. Fill it! Fill it with the bread of life right now. Fill it with the bread of life. He's here. There you go. I want you to eat of Him. I want you to eat of Him. You'll never hunger again. Eat of Him. I want you to ask Jesus, the bread of life. I am the bread of life, He said. I am the bread of life. Jesus believed that about Himself. I want you to believe that about Him. I want you to eat right now the bread of life, right now where you're seated. I don't want to prophesy over people with empty bellies. No. Right now, eat of the bread of life, right now. Jesus, right now, fill me. Elenastekata. Fill me, Jesus, right now. Elemachata. He's right, Jesus. It's all about You. Oh my. Jesus. And all this is for You. For Your glory and Your fame. It's not about me. As if You should do things my way. You alone are God. And I surrender to Your name. It's all about You, Jesus, and all this is for You, for Your glory and Your fame. It's not about me, as if You should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to Your man, oh man. Oh, Jesus.
Lover of my soul. Man, oh man, let's just worship Him. All is in Your gaze. Jesus, I want. Oh my. No one else in history is like You. History itself belongs to You. Sing it together. Alpha and Omega, You have called. Everyone sing. And I will spend with You. It's all about You, Jesus, and all this is for You, for Your glory and Your fame. It's not about me, as if You should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to Your man, oh man. I want you to eat right now the bread of life. He's here. He's here. He's ministering to your soul right now. He's filling your spirit and healing your body. Right now, many of you are being healed. Shenende. Many of you are being restored. I am the good shepherd, He said. And the good shepherd has brought many wounded and torn and tattered believers to this conference. And there is a healing anointing, a blanket of His strength and grace and power over each of you. I want you to receive of His fullness now. Get your belly full now of the bread of life. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the teacher. He's the prophet. Eat of Him now. It's all about Him. It's not about you. Feast right now on the bread of life. He's here. He's among us. Oh man, He's among us. Eat of Him. Eat of Him. Eat of Him right now. Eat of Him right now. Eat of Him right now. The lover of your soul is here. Eat of Him right now. It's not about us. It's about Him. Eat of Him right now. Eat of Him right now. Eat of Him right now. The lover of your soul is here. I want you to eat of Him right now. The bread of life is here. Jesus, the most exciting person in all of human history, is here. The commander-in-chief of the army of the Lord's host is here. The angel of the Lord is here. The shepherd and bishop of souls is here. The great I Am is here. The resurrection and the life is here. The door is here. The great physician is here. Shedetama. I want everyone to eat of the bread of life. The bread of life. Some of you haven't had a good meal in months. Eat of Him now. You're undernourished. You're malnourished because you've been looking to man and not to God. Right now, eat. Eat, eat, eat of the bread of life. Oh, He's here for you. He's here for you. I want every one of you. You're discouraged? Eat of the bread of life. You're depressed? Eat of the bread of life. You're sick? Eat of the bread of life. You're broke? Eat of the bread of life. You've been betrayed? Eat of the bread of life. You've been cursed? Eat of the bread of life. You don't know what to do with your life? Eat of the bread of life. I want everyone to eat right now. Get your bellies full. Get your bellies full.
Jesus, he's right. I don't need a prophecy. I need you. I need you. Eat of the bread of life right now. Get your belly full. Good, 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 good. Eat, 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 eat of the bread of life. Eat of the bread of life. Shetere. Elemadados katata. Eat of the bread of life. I've got disappointments. Eat of the bread of life. I'm discouraged. Eat of the bread of life. I'm confused. Eat of the bread of life. I'm living in fear. Eat of the bread of life. Go ahead, fill your belly. I'm not waiting. I know what I'm doing. I'm not stalling. I'm just telling you to eat. I know what I'm doing. You need to know what you're doing. Eat right now. I'm doing this for you. Eat right now. Eat of the bread of life. You came here with an empty stomach, and the Lord says, get filled now. Fill, 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 fill. Eat of the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus alone is the bread of life. Eat, eat, eat. Jesus is the bread of life. And let him that has ears hear what the Spirit is saying in this meeting. Eat of the bread of life. Yes, Jesus. My. And I will worship you all of my days. Jesus, I want you to know that I will worship you all of my days. Sing it with me, history. Go ahead. Oops, sorry. History itself. That's it. To you, Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega, you have called. Yes. And I will, yes, with you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And all this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender.